All right, it's the part you've all been waiting for with Luke coming to us from New York with the whole scoop. He's been playing the Wii games. I'm going to refrain from any of the stupid Wii jokes. But, Luke, you get to take the lead, man. What's it been like playing those games?
Well, it's been kind of, it's kind of been a little bit disappointing, actually. And I hate to sort of just come in there, it's gloomy and doomy in New York, and it's kind of gloomy and doomy for a lot of the Wii software, I think. I know John on his blog was talking about how he didn't want to hear me talk about it as a peripheral, but, I still am seeing that same sort of, like, peripheral games. And the games that aren't peripherals, like Legend of Zelda, those games look incredible, and that game is playing better. It looks better. Another positive thing there was Metroid. Metroid Prime 3 Corruption was actually in a lot better shape. So, but the other stuff, like...
Well, how about we start right here? What were the good games that you played?
Metroid Prime Corruption is in a lot better shape than I thought it would be. It does, like I wrote in the preview that I wrote for 1UP, it does exactly, at this one point in the demo, what I want out of a Wii game, which is, like, using the Wii controller as, like, an immersive tool instead of using it as, like, it's a tennis racket, it's a pool cue, it's a gun. That shit's stupid and easy. I like that it's pushing the canister, twist the canister, the Wii becomes, an extension of you.
But I mean,
and that's something that they need to explore in the game space.
Luke, to be honest, from E3, you also weren't into, like, the quick, casual pick-and-play games then either. It's maybe you're just not into those types of games, because other people who are playing these are really into, like, Wii Sports or into the mini-games.
Well, that was
Party.
A good setup, because I think that WarioWare is really fun.
Well, yeah, I'm really pissed off that we're not getting WarioWare this year, and Japan's getting it launched. I mean, there's no reason.
Do we know why that's happening?
I mean, the same reason that happened with DS. Like, they just don't think it's, like a viable launch title here, I guess. It's weird.
But you would think the success of WarioWare would,
It's a bigger deal in Japan than it is here.
Yeah. Luke, what feedback did you get there on WarioWare?
Not a lot of feedback. I mean, there wasn't anyone directing that particular game when I was playing it. There was just the NOA reps were watching the stuff like Red Steel and making sure you were getting around okay in Corruption. I mean, with WarioWare, they were just, they weren't really there. There was a guy next to it demoing the Mii channel, which is something that I thought was actually kind of cool in its own way. It seemed like Nintendo's answer to sort of like... Nintendo's answer to the customization that Xbox Live and Xbox 360 offers you with your gamer's card... The Mii is a very, like, Nintendo-y spin on that, I think, at least.
The whole channel concept, I was really surprised by that. I didn't expect it to be so fully fleshed out. And it seems really Japanese to me, the whole idea that you have this weather channel, and you can, like, make your little avatar, which looks really cute, and you can leave, like, notes for your family members and send, like, phone messages to
phone
it.
Text and the whole text messaging
that's
thing?
That's all very Japanese, yeah. Though. Like, but it seems like a little, maybe too Japanese.
But I don't need it. I had this argument yesterday in my office.
What, the weather thing?
Yeah, about the weather channel.
It's not aimed to people like
cool.
us.
I mean, it's cool. I think it's all very cool, but I wonder if it'll turn some hardcore gamers off because it seems like too much like a...
But the gamble is, for the hardcore gamers, it might turn off. What people that have never tried a game system might it turn on? I was talking to my wife about it, and I'm like, oh, yeah, when it's just sat there, you can, it'll tell you the weather and stuff. And her perception of that was, oh, that's pretty cool and kind of friendly.
Yeah, I mean, it is cool. Like, it's surprising.
And I think the fact that it will message with phones is really significant. I mean, this is, it's not brand new functionality for anything, but the fact that a gaming message system is going to finally deliver. I mean, Sony have been talking about doing this with the Sony Ericsson phones for a long time. And when the PSP launched, we thought that was going to be part of the strategy. Right. It never happened. So...
But wait, wasn't Wii supposed to win on games and gaming? And now we're talking about how, it has all these other bullshit functionalities.
But it's not the bullshit functionality that's the key. It's the bullshit functionality is making it friendly
right.
to non-gamers.
I like that we're championing something that we're also calling bullshit. just sitting there watching the press conference, too, I was really surprised when they were sort of, really surprised to see them rolling out all this functionality. The Wii is way, way, way more of a convergence device than I expected it to be. I mean, even though the news story broke the night before, like seeing them run through, the different Wii channels and like the Wii photo demonstration was pretty cool. And it's like, I don't know if people are necessarily going to use this, like tech savvy people. But I think that some
you don't know. There. Wait a minute, I can answer that for you. They won't. Who the hell wants to surf the internet at 480 on their TV screen? Give me a freaking break. Pay money for it. I know. Yeah, I want to pay
the
money.
The browser costs money, surprised me. I thought it would be packed in.
The internet browsing, not so much, but the photo stuff sounds like Apple-ish to
me. It's very Apple. It's also what Sony's been talking about with the PS3. It's what they talked about with the PS2 that they're finally doing on PS3. But part of the problem is this is another fucking device that is designed to do that. I mean, how many things do we need that, or you can look at your photos, you can listen to your music.
But think about how affordable this is compared to to iPods or TiVos or whatever people have. For the average consumer, this is like a pretty high end device that does a lot of things for a very small amount of money.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's get into the pricing.
DVDs though.
Well, DVD players are $30.
Mm-hmm. I started us off into games because I wanted to get on a little bit of a positive note before we jumped into the price thing, which I know everyone's been at the top of their list. Luke, let's let you start off. What was your reaction to the whole announcement of pricing and the peripherals and all that?
Well, I mean, they came in exactly where they said they would, under $250. So there's the good. The bad is they came in $50 too high. The excuse can be the packed-in sports game, which I and most I don't think most consumers care about. What we should be concerned with is the price of these fucking controllers.
Yep.
It's awful.
Not really.
What the hell?
Because you don't need. What are the odds of you needing four nunchucks? You probably don't. You probably
Just a second one.
What you should do is you should give only one person the controls to play the game, and the other three people who want to play should be disadvantaged by not having the extra because you were too cheap to shell $20 out.
How much is an Xbox 360 controller, and then how much is the charging station for it, and how much is a PS3 controller going to be?
It's all too much. It doesn't justify
to buy a full set of Xbox 360. It's $60 too.
Jeremy Parrish wrote an awesome blog last night about this entire thing. It's like $60 too much, $50 for wireless controller too much. All of this is too much. It doesn't matter who's doing it. It's too much.
Well, controller prices didn't just get expensive. I mean, Sega Saturn, when it came out 10 years ago, the controls were $40. They were. This isn't a new thing. We're used to paying this much for controllers. Controllers haven't been cheap for 15 years, people.
But the whole thing with the Wii is the whole playing together thing. And they've been hitting that in all the videos. And now, out of the box, it's one controller. And
Let's talk about that. Out of the box, it's $250. With a pack-in game and no second controller so you can play with your friends, which is another $60.
Well, another thing is everyone's freaking out about the price, but when you look at Zelda, look how good Zelda looks. It really does look like a good game. It looks, to me, comparable to something like Cameo. If you're just a rare consumer and you see a commercial that shows you Zelda, and then you see this system comes out and costs $250, and it comes with a game. At the same time, you're seeing Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3. We're really in the know. We know that, actually, those systems have a lot better graphics. But to, the regular consumer, who are the people Nintendo's going after, they're going to see this as a huge bargain that's half the price of the competitors.
Bargain my ass. Reggie was right there saying and bragging about how much money they're going to make off of everything. The reason it's expensive is because they're trying to profit off of every single piece of it.
Right away.
So angry here about this pricing structure is really shocking to me.
Price a company wants to make money. This is actually a company that can make money off hardware.
At the same time, we're not getting into
I'm surprised that a company with an inferior piece of technology is so hell-bent to make money that they price themselves out of their advantage.
But the inferior piece of technology is irrelevant in this because they're not going after...
Not irrelevant when they raise themselves into the price stratosphere of the other consoles.
But they haven't. But the hardware isn't.
It isn't.
A 30-gig iPod is $250.
This is not an iPod we're talking about.
An iPod does a lot less.
And when you talk about miniaturized componentry, it's much more expensive. Your laptop that's sitting in front of you is far more expensive than a comparably equipped home computer because it's all miniaturized to fit in there. An iPod you can carry around in your pocket.
You're getting all flustered. You're going to have a heart attack, old man. It's not that expensive.
People do not buy technology. They buy functionality.
$200 was the magic price for this console. They didn't do that.
You're pulling the magic price out of your ass. You know nothing. What are you basing
this
on?
I know nothing. I know it
Shane,
on
you said
perception.
Last week it was going to be $150. Kiss my ass.
I heard that from somebody else. I didn't believe that. I thought it was going to be around 200, 250. I thought it'd be 200 without a game. It's 250 with a game. I think that's a fine price. I'm excited.
So where are you
getting
that from?
I'm excited about paying that price.
Where are you getting that from? You pulling that out of your ass?
No, it's what Nintendo said. They said it was going to be under 250, which is half the price of the competitors. Half. I mean, it's not like they're charging $399 or something. This thing is charging
$310, basically.
You don't have to buy the second controller.
Not. Part of it is, at the moment, they seem to be moving it is that, okay, I buy one, you buy one, we get together, I bring my controller with me.
Right.
Which is a bullshit approach, but that is kind of the approach.
It's how they tried to sell connectivity, too.
Yeah.
Your Game Boy and your Game Boy cable and come over and play games. That didn't work.
This is a question I have for you, Luke. So in Japan, the game Welcome to Wii, which I think is called Wii Party here, it comes with a controller when you buy it. Do you know if that's happening here, when that eventually comes out?
I haven't heard anything about that happening.
Yeah, in Japan, it's bundled with a Wiimote for like a regular price. So that right there is your other, you know, is your other controller and a game for $50.
Well, Luke, you've been pretty outspoken about the capabilities of the machine and how, you know, the Wii was, you know, basically a current gen technology with a new peripheral attached to it. What's your take?
Well, it's absolutely still my take. I've seen nothing to convince me otherwise. I do think, however, that a year from now it'll probably be we're starting to see the system being used the way that Nintendo wants it to be used, and I think that it's a lot like the DS syndrome, where when the DS came out, I thought that the DS was a piece of garbage, and now I think, you know,
we all did
the whole way out here, and it's, you know, it's not, and there is some great use of the touchscreen, but I'm concerned when I'm playing games like, you know, Marvel Ultimate Alliance on the Wii, and it's like there's no point to, and Marvel Ultimate Alliance, for example, even sort of eschews the Wii controls, and it's like, okay, well, if you don't want to waggle your controller around, just press B instead to do this move.
I mean, I think we're going to see a lot of that from his third parties.
Yeah, and see, games like that I have a huge problem with, because, like, I do see the Wii as, like, this... It has the potential to do what Nintendo wants it to do and to change the way people play games, but when publishers just sort of half-ass, hokey-pokey their way into these, like, hackneyed bullshit control schemes, then yeah, you know what? It's going to make Nintendo's Wii look even worse than it is, because you're going to have these publishers just being like, well, we can maybe sell another 45,000 copies on this platform, downgrade and port it over. And that's stupid.
I think it just might be a launch thing, though, because you kind of saw similar things with 360, like the first generation Madden. They just did it to cash in.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take a year before you start seeing the real creative stuff.
I think the DS is a better analogy, because on DS you still see like shitty kids games and crap with just like, oh, it's a map up top or whatever. But I think we're going to always see that. I think, you know, every kid's game is going to come out on Wii, but there's still going to be awesome third-party games. Like, look at Resident Evil. Like, Resident Evil is exactly what I wanted. It's, you know, it complements Resident Evil 5 at the same time, but it uses the Wii, you know, effectively. I think it's awesome.
Is that a light gun game?
No. You aim with the Wii controller, but it plays like RE4. It plays specifically like the Mercenaries mode, or whatever that's called at the end. It's like,
I think it's Mercenaries.
Yeah, it's like where you just like play through it really fast, and it's more like a shooter, and I think it looks awesome. People are haters.
There's still some problems with the whole like Wiimote censoring, and like the way you actually, when you're playing the games, it wasn't necessarily the best environment to play at Nintendo, because what it was we were in this room where they did the presentation, and to the right side of the room were like 40 kiosks set up, and so you had to stand 5 or 6 feet away to sort of make sure that the sensor picks you up on these big TVs and the sensor or whatever, and it's not conducive to, you know, being around a ton of people. And the other thing is it becomes so easy for the sensor to go off the screen that you'd walk around and you'd see all these people sort of with confused looks on their faces, like, why the fuck can't I play this game right? And that's a huge problem, I think, with the Wii, and it extends further to stuff like, you know, Ultimate Alliance or even Metroid. If you watch the video on the 1UP show, I don't know if they use footage of me actually playing the game, but it's like watching a very special child trying to play something.
There's a learning curve. At E3 with Zelda, I felt retarded when I was playing it for 10 minutes.
Yeah, and that, like, that's not how video games should make you feel. Like, they should not make you feel dumb. And especially not a console that's like, we want to be really intuitive and we want to make it easy for everyone.
Yeah.
Like, I can't see.
Well, but like some of the games are intuitive. Like, you know, like table tennis, duh, no one's going to spend 5 minutes trying to figure that out.
Table tennis.
The game that's not Pilot Wings, what's it called?
Wing Island.
Wing Island. Did you try that?
I didn't get to try that. I think
because that looks like, you know, you hold it like a toy plane, you know, which seems exactly the way that the developers need to be thinking about.
Mm-hmm. Did you play boxing, Luke? Did you play Wii Boxing?
I didn't get to play Boxing.
Looks fun.
But it looked like fun.
Yeah, it did look like fun.
Can you just rattle through the stuff you did play?
I played the entire Wii Play Suite, Metroid Prime Corruption, Marvel Ultimate Alliance, Twilight Princess, WarioWare, Mii Channel, Trauma Center, which was really cool.
Is it hard?
Actually.
Is it as hard as a DS game?
It's easy. I mean, it's easier, and they had everything on easy. I played Madden, and like what I played from Madden was actually like not horrible.
I hear the passing is either love it or hate it. The passing is like kind of
weird. Well, I played like a bunch of the mini games, like from the training camp modes for Madden, and they were actually pretty cool. Like going through and doing the passing drill, it was something like you press down on the dummies that you're passing to are mapped to different buttons on the control pad. like different directions or the A button or something. And then, so the icon flashes and you like press down and then flick your wrist to throw it. And the way you flick your wrist affected how the ball flew. And that was actually not terrible. I don't know that I would want to play a whole game of Madden like that, but as far as just going through the mini games, it was kind of cool.
Okay, but you know what? Listening to his voice, the most enthusiastic he's been about any of these games is freaking Madden.
Well, I mean, Luke is not exactly the person we expected to fall in love with Wii at this event. He's been kind of, you know, he had his mind made up since
E3. I'm super excited for Twilight Princess. Super excited
on the GameCube.
On my GameCube.
Exactly.
I think we're looking at the whole thing wrong. This thing is not for us.
Exactly.
It's not, you know, you guys from EGM are one up, sat around bitching about something that's too simple, and it isn't. It isn't for us. They don't care. They want new people to play games. They want things that aren't scary and aren't, you know, the traditional video games just aren't going to work. It's going to be, you know, flying something like a toy plane or hitting something with a stick. That's what's going to work.
The cooking game. Yeah, then let me go back to the $250 price, because then they have a problem, because if it's $250 with a pack-in sports game, then you're going to be comparing directly.
For a lot of people, the pack-in sports game is all they need.
Okay, then why don't they just buy one of those $30 plug into the television sports games that does exactly the same thing?
Oh, instead of an iPod, why don't I buy an old tape player?
Fucking Mommy, yeah. Mommy, you're not going to look any better.
I don't want the game with Pokemon. I don't want that at all. No, you're retarded. Like, Pokemon also, the only game online this year, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of surprising.
Yeah, it is the only game that's online.
Only
this
game
year,
online
sort
this
of
year.
One of the
but it's the game people want the most, probably, in the Nintendo generation.
I think we're getting hung up on the $250. Like, $600 is a lot of money.
Yeah, $250 is not.
$250 these days is for the fully functioned version of something is about the price you pay. The PSP was that when it launched. The iPod, if you want the properly functioned one, that's how much it costs now.
Well, think about what was the last home console to launch at $250? Oh, right, you can't think of one.
The GameCube was $199.
This is the most expensive.
Every other console before it.
But the GameCube
It's not 50. Look, I'll be the first to admit, $50 is not a huge amount of money. The difference between $250 and $200 is not a big deal. What is a big deal is that...
But the way you're reacting to it, you're acting like it is.
Yeah, because I'm trying to make the point, and you guys are so dead set that it's not an issue. You're, like, cock-blocking that whole thing, whereas it is an issue. Well, $250 versus $199 in public perception is a perceptive difference.
But $250 versus $399 and $499 and $599, that's
a bigger difference. If they'd have gone any cheaper in context, it would have cheapened it out of contention.
And then the first price drop would have made that worse.
The other thing, you launch at $199, how many price cuts can you do before you're non-existent?
Right.
I mean, if this thing's going to have some life, and it's not, it can't be.
I would tell you this, the PS2 pricing, the bump the PS2 sees every time they lower the price in how many of the units they sell would argue you differently, because every time they drop the price on that damn thing, it sells more units.
Right. So you have to start at a level where you can cut, because otherwise you run out of opportunity.
If you cut too much right away.
You launch at $199, like, unless you're going to do. When Sony cuts $20 off, it doesn't do anything.
Right.
When they cut $50 off, it does. Mm-hmm. So you go from $199 and you're down to $149, and then you got one to go.
Yeah.
Speaking of Nintendo's smart pricing decisions, I think the virtual console pricing is excellent. It's exactly what we talked about. It makes sense. It's 5, 8, and 10.
I totally agree
and
with that.
Like, people think, oh, $10 is too much. No, you're paying like $8 for like feeding Frenzy on Xbox Live. You won't pay $10 for Ocarina of Time?
I was afraid that N64 games would be like 20 or 15.
Yeah,
I'm so
10 is perfect.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to start any argument there. We're all in agreement about that, I think.
But one thing I want to talk about, though, about the virtual console pricing is the way that they did sort of skew, like, because Jeremy wrote about this in his blog, and I thought about it, too, was the way that they did sort of skew the pricing where it's like 100 yen equals a dollar. Like, that's, I mean...
Right now, it's 117 yen equal dollar.
But the actual pricing, like I said on this week's One Up Show, the actual pricing for the virtual console stuff didn't particularly bother me. I thought that it was pretty much what I expected it to be.
Yeah, I thought they hit the number on that one. So, surprise, we're not arguing.
We all agree.
No argument about the virtual console. You know what? That's because we're all excited about being able to play that stuff.
Yeah.
That's really where
makes this an uninteresting segment.
It does.
We all love each other.
That's where they're going to load up their launch lineup so that they have titles to play on this device after you buy it, right?
Well, another point I made when we were promoting this thing is people are upset that they're not showing like a lot of first-party titles yet, but you know, they're holding their hand back and they're kind of letting it sink in. Do you really need like Zelda and Mario and Smash Brothers at launch? Would you have time for all that? Probably not. And like this gives them a chance to like spread them out and not overload people too quickly with big-name games. I think it's fine.
There's definitely a lot of developer industry Kennedy from over in Kennedy had to do that to him.
Kennedy.
That's a little office joke. Kennedy has been talking about Matsuno developing for Wii in a news story here. And apparently, for those of you who don't know, Matsuno was the director on Final Fantasy XII before he left. He's also done Final Fantasy Tactics and Ogre Battle. Apparently, he's very, very happy with the Wii. He talks about how he likes the controller. However, when he tried it on Mario Galaxy, he realized this was a controller fit the game almost scarily well. Allows you to intuitively feel the game and its atmosphere. Did you try the Mario game, Luke? I didn't hear.
I don't think it was playable.
No, you know, I didn't actually get to try the Mario game because I was busy playing the games that Matt Leon didn't want to. But and Matt Leon loves them. Like, he played it for part of the afternoon, and then as they were shutting down the event at like 3:45. It ended at 4. Matt Leon was there from 3:45 to like 4:10 with his fucking goofy ass grin on his face, like he just got head from Kratos, God of War.
Wow!
It was just like, he just could not.
That's encouraging.
How happy this dude looked. And he's like, this game's perfect for it. And that's what Nintendo's gonna do. And you were sort of breaking up from the Skype signal there, okay. But. So I hope that you didn't say this already, but the stuff that Nintendo really spends their time working on for the console, and I'm not looking at you, Twilight Princess, but the stuff like Mario Galaxy, where it's going to be sort of tailor-made for the console, that's going to be the sort of stuff that's going to be the most exciting that we're going to see from Nintendo, I think, as far as exciting to us, like hardcore gamers, not, you know, hey, cool, tennis.
Yeah, I was talking about what Masuno said, and he actually went on to echo that exact same thing. He says, graphics have evolved. There are many games claiming that this generates a more realistic atmosphere. However, there are very few games that have a control interface that lives up to that atmosphere. With the Wii controller, you can actually feel like you're touching or living in the atmosphere. Shane agrees. Shane is nodding his head. He's like, Matsuno's onto something.
Matsuno's a little bit of a nut, but I look forward to seeing what he does.
I think the Wii is really going to show the divide between the really creative people and the people who are just going to cash in, like all the Activision ports and all that stuff.
Speaking of ports, did you play any of the Ubisoft stuff? Play Splinter Cell or Far Cry?
I didn't see Far Cry. Red Steel.
How's that looking?
That's looking like it's... I hope it gets delayed for like another 2 years.
It's the wrong game at the wrong time.
Oops. Yeah, it's the wrong... It's not the right kind
of
game.
Didn't they spend a lot of money on that game?
It's the right kind of game, and that I believe it's going to sell really well for them. I think it'll sell pretty decently. But it's not the right kind of game as far as how Nintendo should want to be featuring their console. And it's great that Ubisoft is so supportive of the Wii, because Ubisoft's an extremely powerful and potent third-party developer. But this is not an example of what's working. Rayman, however, is. A lot of people were like, dude, you play Rayman? It's so awesome. I think it's great. And I was like, okay, well. I mean, a lot of people really like Rayman. So they sort of are hitting on both. They're sort of at both ends of the spectrum with those two games, I think.
Metroid Prime has been super popular here, and I know that was one of the games you started off talking about. Give us some details on what you played, what the level was like, how did it interact with the game?
You got a lot of flack for your preview, didn't you?
I'm sorry, you asked about Metroid?
Yeah.
Yeah, just give us a little more depth on that, because I think that's one of the most popular games for the Western market.
Yeah, well, Ryan O'Donnell and I talked about it a lot. There's some technical difficulties.
We got you.
We got you good. Just talk.
Okay. Ryan O'Donnell and I talked about it a lot last night and a lot at the show. As far as there's just a part of the cursor speed feels really incongruent in Metroid, where like in the immediate visor vicinity, that cursor flies around. But when you get to the edges, everything slows while Samus turns. And there was a preview written for another website that talked about this mode, expert mode, and claimed it solved everything. And all of a sudden you were, you know, turning on a dime. And that's not necessarily what I experienced. However, the demo for Corruption, the new level, it's there's sort of like there's a flood like Halo entity on the spacecraft that you encounter after a scripted event. There's some like scripted events that trigger different events in the demo, which is really cool to be like running through the space station, and then, you know, a door explodes, a dude gets blown up, and you turn around and run back into this other room, and like space pirates have taken over the room. You clean out the space pirates from the room and you get an item, which led to the coolest part of the whole demo for me, which was, like I talked about earlier, that hand in a space system. And I think that Metroid Prime 3 Corruption has, I think it's going to end up being really good, but I still think that they're struggling with a way to make it control. Like, I would really like it if the cursor was locked at the center of the screen, so then when you turned, it was like a more typical FPS kind of.
Yeah, they really should give a lot of...
I'm sure you can relate.
They should let you customize the controls. I mean, they really should, I think. I hope.
Let you, like, expert mode.
Yeah, it'd be... Go ahead.
Well, the expert mode, allegedly, like you said, from what Matt Casamassina, whatever, I always mess up his name, pronunciation. It's what, from what he wrote, Expert Mode really fixes that, and we need to get our hands on that, definitely, to make that comparison.
Well, it's interesting, because Shu was saying they had Expert Mode at E3, and he played it there.
Oh, okay.
And it wasn't actually new, and it was better. That's what he was saying.
Huh.
But
Expert Mode didn't strike me when I was messing around with it as the be-all, end-all correct control scheme for Metroid Prime 3. But like I said in the preview, too, I think, was that, you know, this game's a long ways off still. You know, where it's not done, it is changing, it is evolving. And, I mean, while I didn't particularly care for Echoes, necessarily, I mean, Metroid Prime universally is, you know, accepted as an excellent game, and I expect that Corruption, when it's done, is going to be the same.
Luke, did it feel more like a shooter, or did it feel like a Metroid game? Because I think one of the things that did Metroid Prime for me on Cube was that you were in a first-person world, but it didn't feel like a first-person shooter. It felt like a Metroid game.
Yeah, well, I think because of the nature of the demoing situation where you only have a few minutes to play the game, I think that it probably feels a lot more shootery than it will in the final game, because what made Prime so good was, like you were talking about, it was that sense of atmosphere. And I remember playing Prime, and you know, it is this haunting, empty world. And the Corruption demo doesn't feel anything like that. I mean, there's action in every room. There's always something going on in front of you. And it doesn't give you that sense of atmosphere. It doesn't give you that sense of, I mean, because you're in. And the other thing is, you're in like a claustrophobic, busy ass spaceship. It's not gonna trigger that atmosphere just yet. That's gonna be, you know, where we go next off the spaceship is gonna be hopefully where we see that atmosphere emerge. I just don't think that a demo like that is the right place for them to showcase the atmosphere of Metroid Prime.
What about the visor? Was that worked into the demo at all?
Ryan O'Donnell scanned a bunch of stuff, but beyond that, it wasn't.
A lot of scanning.
I mean, I was just running around like an idiot shooting stuff.
Did they have the Big Brain Academy demo at the English one in New York?
Yeah, they did, actually. They had the Big Brain Academy game.
Did you play it?
Brian Crescenti from Kotaku and I squared off on that.
Is it fun?
Did you own him?
You're pretty smart.
Yeah, destroyed. Just destroyed. And that was cool. I could see it being fun, you know, going back and forth with a friend, you know, playing, you know,
for 10 minutes.
That.
For 10 minutes.
At the same time, like, that's another game where I don't necessarily know why it would have to be on the Wii. Like, oh great, I'm pointing and moving blocks that don't add up to the number 13 out of this out of here. Cool. You could do that with a controller. It's not necessarily, you know, using the functionality.
Well, there you have it on that. Kind of ended the Big Brain thing on a down note. Oh, that's okay. I mean, that's things that they have to sort out, and maybe Big Brain doesn't lend itself that well to it. What other games do we need to hit that we haven't hit? Well, you said you played all of the Play Suite. We talked about shooting. We talked about billiards. What else was in the Play Suite?
What about the new Zelda controls? There's some mix-up on that.
The new Zelda controls, they took some of the, like, because it was really cumbersome and awkward, and I remember when we talked about E3, it was just really fucking goofy to try and shoot the bow and arrow, mm-hmm. And you could see it, like, you could see the frustration, like, curling on people's faces when they're trying to, like, shoot the bow and arrow with the elevated enemies, and, like, the guys doing the demo are like, no, just point it up there and shoot them, and people are like, motherfucker, I can't point it up there and shoot them. Leave me alone. What they did, basically, was they remapped the controls to make it a little bit better, and I talked with a guy from the game, a guy who's been working on the game off the record about the changes, and not necessarily the why, but he had been saying that, like, for the last 2 months, all he's been doing is hold up in his office playing the Twilight Princess. And he said that it is going to be the longest and best Zelda to date, and that I can count on it.
Yeah, we've heard that,
so that
from
some
several
good,
people,
like,
now.
Nintendo hype. The actual swords, like the sword swing and the nunchuck, move the nunchuck in a 360 motion to do that, the spin move that you see so much. That's cool. That's all right. And the shield slam was in, I believe, in the E3 demo. But I mean, it's fun, but I don't know that it's needed. Really, it doesn't seem like it's built for it. It doesn't seem like the game was built to accompany it. It seems like they were like, ooh, people are going to want Zelda. We should launch with this. If we move this to the Wii launch, then we can probably sell more units, and then we'll delay the other one. And the controller's going to be good. We'll remap everything, and it's still whatever. GameCube.
I guess it's time to let him bring this thing home for us. You spent the whole, you know, last day and a half messing around with Wii. You've heard the prices. You've heard everything. Bring it home with a, you know, like a sum up of everything you saw and what you think of the Wii and how it performed in this presentation.
If you're going to buy the Wii this year, I think that it's sort of like buying the PS3 in that with both consoles, you're paying for potential. The difference, besides $350.
Which is a big difference.
Yeah, which is a big difference, which is another Wii, actually. The difference is, you know, pretty obvious in what you're getting between the two consoles if you're looking to adopt. I think that, like, looking in the grander scheme of things with the console war, this all plays very, very well for Microsoft, who now has the luxury of dropping their price to undercut, to, like, compete with Nintendo more. And that could be something that could be extremely interesting if Microsoft does. As far as, like, Nintendo's products and the Wii, I think that in a year, everyone will want one who doesn't have one. I just think that for me personally, the time to adopt isn't going to be now. It'll be, you know, it'll be when Mario Galaxy comes out. It'll be when it's time to get Super Smash Brothers. It'll be when Super Paper Mario comes to the Wii, if it does. I heard Bill Trennan say to someone, like, no, we haven't, I don't know where that came from. I don't know where that rumor that it's moving to the Wii came from.
Huh.
I also heard a different Nintendo executive say, yeah, we're already working on the next console. We're really looking forward to the next console. Once this one ships, the way we work is, you know, we finish one up and start working on the next one. So we're going to ship this one this year and get right back to work on the next one.
Do you still think that's
normal? Wii HD 2008.
I was just going to ask you, do you think Wii 2 years?
Yeah, no, if it works well, I think that you would be, you know, I don't think anyone would be surprised, given the way Nintendo's handled the DS and the DS Lite. I don't think anyone would be surprised if in 2 years they're like, and now here's a new version of this with some increased and improved functionality.
Well, that's Luke summing it up for us live from New York. Can't beat that. It's almost like